بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the title of the class today is The Year of Sorrow. Actually, today, inshallah, we will start by learning about Abu Talib's death. It was the 10th year of the prophethood. Abu Talib, the prophet's uncle who used to protect him from the enemies, he fell ill and passed away 6 months after the end of the boycott. He passed away in the month of Rajab in the 10th year of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Talib was on the deathbed, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered the room where he saw two of the Quraysh leaders beside the bed of his uncle. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "My uncle, you just make a profession that there is no God but Allah, and that I will bear testimony before Allah of you being a believer." So he wants his uncle just to say there is no God but Allah. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ask the permission or the help from Allah to accept him as a believer. But the two leaders, the disbelievers, said, "Abu Talib, would you leave the religion of your father?" They don't want him to become a believer. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly requested his uncle to accept his offer, while the two men were repeating their statement. Till Abu Talib, the uncle, gave his final decision and he stuck to the religion of his father. So the Prophet was very sad and he said, "By Allah, I will persistently beg pardon for you till I am forbidden to do so by Allah." It was then that Allah revealed this verse of the Quran, Surah number 9, verse number 130.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is not for the Prophet and those who have believed to ask forgiveness for the polytheist, even if they were relatives, after it has become clear to them that they are companions of the hellfire.
Okay. So actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asking Allah to forbid his uncle until Allah revealed this verse of the Quran, so he stopped asking this to be forbidden from Allah. And then also Allah sent another verse to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah number 28, verse number 56, related to Abu Talib, his uncle, who died as a disbeliever. Surah number 28, Surah verse number 56. Surah number 56. Surah number 28, verse number 26.
26 or 56?
Sorry, 56.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو أعلم بالمهتدين.
بالمهتدين. Okay. You find it?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Indeed, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, you do not guide whom you like, but Allah guides who he will, and he is most knowing of the rightly guided.
Thank you.
So actually, sisters, it is clear that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was trying to save his uncle from the hellfire by all the means. He was trying to ask Allah the Almighty to forbid his uncle and to accept him as a believer. But again, Allah the Almighty is clarifying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the rules of the Holy Quran, sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to every believer. You don't guide whom you like, okay? But Allah guides whom He wills, and Allah knows. Allah is guiding whom He wills, not according to nothing, but according to His knowledge of those whom they deserve to be guided.
Okay. I have a question. When the only request we can make to Allah is to ask Him to guide someone, but we cannot do anything if the person is a polytheist, like...
Yes.
We can only ask...
No, I tell you. If there is someone who is not a Muslim, you must try to call him for Islam and to try to clarify to him the message of Islam and the importance that the only message which will be accepted, or the only religion which will be accepted on the Day of Judgment is the message of Islam. If you are not a believer, you will be in the hellfire. Okay, so you must say this and you must try your best to call the people to Islam. But at the same time, you call on Allah to guide these hearts because guidance is not up to you. And then you leave the whole issue to Allah because Allah is the only one who knows whom they deserve to be guided. Okay? Yes.
So we can ask Allah to guide them and forgive them until they pass away, right?
Yes.
And after they pass away, we can't ask, we can't pray for them anymore?
You can.
Second.
Because, you know, Daniel, they had the chance while they were alive, and they refused. So long they refused, and they died, this means that the book of their deeds is closed. So nothing will be added to it. Actually, Abu Talib, the guardian of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his grandfather's death, he was a noble, brave, and kind uncle who tried his best to protect the Prophet for 40 years. You know, sisters, you must appreciate how much that man was a good man, and a kind man, and a brave man, okay? And because of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did his best to persuade his uncle to accept Islam. But he couldn't achieve any success because he died as a disbeliever. Okay? SubhanAllah. So when the mention of his uncle was made, the Prophet said, I hope that my intercession may avail him and he be placed in a shallow fire that rises up only to his heels. Okay, this is how when Prophet Muhammad will intercede for his uncle who took care of him and protected him for 40 years, okay, that he will be in the hellfire. But it is a shallow fire, okay, that rises up only to his heels. If Prophet Muhammad would not intercede for him, he will be in the lowest place in the hellfire.
They say that the Prophet will be allowed to help some people at the end
on the Day of Judgment.
Yes.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for the Muslims, not for the non-Muslims, only for the Muslims. Even he was asking Allah for permission for his mother to be in the paradise, and Allah refused, even his mother, yes. He cannot ask for anyone, you know, believe and disbelieve is something Prophet Muhammad is out of it. But if you are a believer and you are having minor sins, but still you are a believer in the oneness of Allah, okay, inshallah, and you follow the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, he will intercede for you. Nobody knows whom Prophet Muhammad will intercede for. But basically, you must be a Muslim and a believer. Okay? Yes.
What about the people before Prophet Muhammad in Islam? Like, because his mother, she died when he was very young, right? And he wasn't yet a prophet. He wasn't a prophet at that time.
Yes, Daniel.
So how would she be guided, you know, to Islam if
But she didn't know about Islam.
Like she didn't have the message.
Yes, she didn't have the message, but at that time there was the message of Christianity. You know how we know about this? Because Khadija, his wife, she went to her uncle who was a Christian. You remember at the beginning of the story. So there was another religion from the from Allah or from the God. Okay.
It was
so
the true Christianity.
Yes, this was before they made the changes. You know. But to tell you the truth, nobody knows exactly. Okay, what will be the final, decision for Allah regarding those before Islam? But it was mentioned that when there was Christianity, those whom they are Christian before Islam, they follow the religion of Jesus before Islam, okay, this is accepted. Before Jesus, when Moses was there, whom they follow Moses before, they are accepted, you know. But all this story is up to Allah, the Almighty, you know, and the knowledge is up to Allah. Okay. Now we will learn about, actually this was the first sad event in the 10th year of the mission of Islam, the year of sorrow, and the second sad event was that it was Khadija's death. Very soon after the death of his uncle, did the Prophet experience another great personal loss. The mother of the believers, his wife Khadija, passed away in Ramadan of the 10th year of his prophethood. This means that 2 months after the death of his uncle, she passed away. She was 65 years old. He was 50 years old. Khadija was a blessing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, for 25 years, she shared with him the trials of the life, especially in the first 10 years of his ministry of prophethood. He was very sad for her loss, always remembering her, saying, Khadija believed in me when none else did. Khadija believed in my message when people disbelieve me, and she helped me and comforted me in her person and wealth when there was none to lend me a helping hand. Also, I had children, 6 children from her. Archangel Jibril came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, offer to Khadija greetings from her Lord and give her the glad tidings of a palace of jewels in paradise. So this is Allah the Almighty. This is the reward of Allah, which we must be sure of. When you follow the right path, when you try your best to believe in Allah, when you try all the means to be steadfast, be sure that Allah will reward you to the extent maybe you can't imagine. So this is the reward of Sayyida Khadija, the mother of the believers, a palace in the paradise. Actually, these two painful events, the death of Abu Talib, his uncle, his guardian, and his wife, took place within a short period of time and added a lot of grief and suffering to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The disbelievers now openly declared their campaign of torture and oppression to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now his uncle is not around and his wife is not around, so they plan to try all the means to get rid of him. Once one of the disbelievers, he sprinkled sand on the head of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he arrived home, a daughter of his washed the sand away and wept. Actually, this is Fatima radiallahu anha. Don't weep, my daughter. Allah will verily protect your father, the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In conclusion, these two painful events led the Prophet to call that period the year of sorrow, the year of grief. He was very sad for the loss of these two human beings from his life. And actually, sisters, when you have a hardship and Allah during that hardship supported you with two people whom they have an excellent quality, they are always a very big support for you psychologically and all forms of support. So when you lose these two persons while you are still in the middle of the hardship, you feel weak and you feel lost and you feel confused. How can I proceed without these two persons while I'm still in the middle of the hardship? So now we must stop to analyze the factors that inspired those early Muslims to tolerate the torture of those disbeliever leaders. Before moving to the next step of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us learn some lessons about those early Muslims whom they were facing the worst treatment, whom they were facing the torture and the bad treatment and the harsh treatment. Why they were tolerating this? What was the source of the power for them to live 3 years in the boycott, where there is no food, where there is no drink, where they were eating the skins of the animals and the leaves of the trees, but still for 3 years, but still they were true believers in the oneness of Allah. What were these factors which supported them? Number one, the sincere belief in Allah. When the sincere belief in Allah's oneness touches the heart, it supports the heart to tolerate everything for the sake of Allah, and this is the miracle of the belief in Allah's oneness. And to tell you the truth, sisters, this is the most important factor, the most important factor and the most precious character in every in any human being is the belief. What you believe in. Do you believe in the truth? Are you a sincere believer? When you meet a person or when you come to know a person who is a sincere believer in the oneness of Allah, this is a very big blessing from Allah. If you become a sincere believer in the oneness of Allah, this means that only Allah for me, only I worship Allah, only I obey Allah, my way of life is the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah, take everything from me, but I will never leave my belief. Okay, and this is the most important for every human being and any human being to tolerate anything, the belief inside your heart. So number one, the sincere belief in Allah's oneness. Number two, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the perfect manners and the noble attributes of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that convinced the early Muslims to believe in his message and to follow him. Even one of the great enemy of Islam, his name is Abu Jahl, he used to say, "O Muhammad, there was no position to belie you. We rather disbelieve what you have brought us." So this means that regarding you, Muhammad, we cannot say you are a liar. This is a statement from one of his great enemies. Okay, this is the proof of his good manners and his noble attributes. We will recite now from Surah number 6, verse number 33 regarding this fact.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد نعلم إنه ليحزنك الذي يقولون فإنهم لا يكذبونك ولكن الظالمين بآيات الله يجحدون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We know that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are saddened by what they say, and indeed they do not call you untruthful, but it is the verses of Allah that the wrongdoers reject.
So actually, this is exactly what Abu Jahl was saying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a proof that he has the best manner, they cannot say that he is a liar. Regarding his companions, they held him dearest to them, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occupied the innermost of their hearts. They were ready to defend him and to secure his well-being even at the risk of their lives. And again, sisters, okay, we must focus on these facts. If you want to call the people for something good, you must have the good manners, okay? You cannot be a bad human being or dishonest, okay, or a liar, and then you want the people to follow or to believe in what you are saying them. They can't. You cannot believe a liar, okay? And this is the wisdom of Allah, the Almighty, when He chooses the best human being to convey the message of Islam, so that his manners and his attributes will encourage everyone to believe in his message. The third factor which helps the Muslim to tolerate the torture of the disbeliever is the sense of responsibility. The early Muslims were fully aware of the heavy responsibility that they were expected to shoulder. They believed that their role to protect the Prophet and to protect the message of Islam was extremely important, and it deserved to sacrifice everything for its sake. And again, sister, this sense of responsibility is what most of the Muslims are not having nowadays. Because if you believe that you have a responsibility, I am a Muslim, okay? I can't, go to the mall, okay, and I am in contact with the people whom they are not Muslims, and I start to fight with everyone, okay, while I have a head cover. So all the non-Muslims will say, look to the Muslims, okay? Also regarding, what is going on with the Muslims, to cause troubles for the peoples and to kill and to, what is going on, about what is mentioned about the Muslims. Okay, this is a sense of no responsibility. Those whom they did 9/11, this is a sense of no responsibility at all, and Allah will punish them in the hellfire because of the price which the Islam already paid and all the Muslims paid. And I am one of the Muslims who paid a price for those people whom they don't have any responsibility. They just want to be mentioned that they are, those whom they sacrifice their life for the sake of Allah. No, this is not the way. This is not the way to sacrifice your life for the sake of Allah and to cause troubles for the message of Islam up to the day of judgment. Up to the day of judgment, we will pay the price for this mistake. So why you did this? Just that the people will say you are a brave man whom you sacrifice yourself. Yourself is nothing. The message is the most important. You did harm and great harm for all the Muslims and for the message of Islam. Okay, more than a lot of people died for the sake of this. So we must have the sense of responsibility. If you enter any place, for example, a restaurant or a mall or a park, you must know that you have a responsibility. There are some Muslims whom they go to the park and they eat fruits and they throw,
the rubber,
and the papers on the floor. And everyone in the park will say, look to the Muslims. Those are the dirty Muslims. This is the religion which is based on being clean and to wash before the prayer, as they are saying, no, they are dirty, they are not clean. When you come to the masjid, after any lunch or dinner in the prayer room, look and see how is the masjid. This is Islam, this is the sense of responsibility, since it is not my home or my house, okay? It is, I will do whatever I like. What is this? Where is the sense of responsibility? You must have a sense of responsibility because you are a Muslim and Allah is watching over you, and Allah will reward you according to your deed. So where is the sense of responsibility nowadays? Now regarding learning the Quran, where is the sense of responsibility of the Muslim? If everyone will not learn the Quran, if everyone will not know anything about the Holy Quran, last week I have my class about, why we are far away, from Allah. We are far away from Allah because we have hard hearts. Okay, our hearts are hard. Why? Number one, no effect of the Holy Quran. When we listen to the Quran, when we recite the Quran, equal to no effect. This is the cause of all the troubles of the Muslims. Why Muslims are not affected when they recite the Quran or when they listen to the Quran? Okay, because they are not connected to that book at all. At all. Okay, only maybe 1 hour per week. This is excellent. 3 or 4 sisters. Okay, 1 hour per week. Where is the Quran in the life of the Muslims? There is no Quran in the life of the Muslims. Mostly. To recite it, to understand the meaning, to live according to the message, not just to have the music of the Holy Quran. No, this is not the Quran. The Quran is the message, rules, okay, way of life. Where is the sense of responsibility towards that book? If we forgot the Quran after 50 years, where the Quran will be? Far away from life. far away from life. Now, most of the Muslims, 85% or 87%, and this percentage is increasing every year, most of the Muslims are non-Arabic speaking. They cannot read the Quran in Arabic, so they will read the translation. And we don't know the translation after 50 years or 100 years, it will be the correct translation or not. So where is the sense of responsibility for the Arabic-speaking Muslim? Zero. Zero sense of responsibility. When you tell to any sister, go and take two or three revert sisters, sit with them, help them, support them, take with... No, no, no. I don't have time at all. I'm very busy. I'm very busy. You are very busy with the worldly life. Allah will question you because this is sense of responsibility. I am responsible to teach the revert. Who will teach them? They have the intention to know Allah. They have the intention to become Muslim. But they need a teacher. Okay? And I cannot tell them I will give you the class for $500. $100 per class. Yes. I want to be rich on the shoulder of the revert for the sake of Allah. Don't forget, for the sake of Allah, please. Okay? I'm sacrificing my time. What is this? If those whom they are calling to Allah are not sincere, I am not supposed to call the rest of the Muslims to be sincere. This is the sense of responsibility for those whom they are calling for Allah. I can't be an unsincere human being, then I am calling for Allah. Calling for Allah how? This is the basics for calling to Allah, is to have the sense of responsibility towards the message. If I am sure that Allah will reward me for every second I spent with the reverse sister to teach them Islam, if I am sure of the reward of Allah, why I want reward from human beings? This means that the message is not clear for me. This means that I don't deserve to teach Islam to anyone. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Number four, regarding the factors which supported the Muslims to tolerate the suffering, the early Muslim, the strong belief in the truth of the hereafter. And this is another point which most of the Muslims don't believe in. Okay, and most of the human beings. Okay, the strong belief in the truth of the hereafter. This was the cornerstone that strengthened their sense of responsibility. As I'm just mentioning, if I am sure that Allah will reward me the paradise, when I learn Islam, when I practice Islam, when I teach Islam, I am the winner. I will have the paradise, eternal happiness in the gardens. Okay? So if I believe in the hereafter, I will try every minute to collect the good deeds from everyone by all the ways, day and night. Okay? I will not say I don't have time to teach Islam. I don't have time to recite the Quran even. I don't have time for Allah. I am running in life for the provision. But Allah says that the provider is Allah and the provision is in the heaven, not on the earth. But who knows about the truth? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. When you recite these verses of the Quran, when you know the truth, you are always, you must say all the time, all praise to Allah, sister. All praise to Allah that Allah guided us to learn the Quran, to believe in the Quran, to live with the Quran, to practice the Quran, and to sacrifice for the sake of the Quran our day and our night. Those early Muslims, they believe that the hereafter is either hell or paradise. So they must tolerate all the suffering for the sake of the paradise. Okay, we will recite now from Surah number 2, verse number 214.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب.
Okay, you read it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or do you think that you will enter paradise while such trial has not yet come to you as came to those who passed on before you? They were touched by poverty and hardship and were shaken until their messenger
And those who believed with him said, when is the help of Allah? Unquestionably, the help of Allah is near.
So actually, sister, these facts must be clear to every one of us. To have the paradise as final destination, okay, it must be your goal. And that goal deserves that you must tolerate any hardship or any trial for the sake of that goal, because it is the greatest blessing to have the paradise as your final destination. If you believe in the hereafter, if you believe that everyone must die at any minute, okay? And then after this, it is either the hell or the paradise, eternally. Okay, eternal punishment or eternal enjoyment. Okay, accordingly, if I am a logic human being, I must choose the paradise. So if I choose the paradise, I must be ready to sacrifice anything for the sake of that goal. The fifth factor which supported the Muslim to tolerate that, the early Muslim to tolerate that difficult times, is the Holy Quran. The verses and the chapters of the Holy Quran were continuously revealed at that critical stage. These verses of the Quran, they constituted the immune basic upon which the best of the society was to be established. These verses strengthened their spirits with patience and hope. We will recite now from Surah number 29, from verse 1 to 3, to learn about how the verses of the Holy Quran can strengthen the spirit and support the spirit with the patience and the hope. Surah number 29, verse from 1 to 3.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين أم حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Do the people think that they will be left to say we believe and they will not be tried? But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars. Do those who do evil deeds think they can outrun or escape us? Evil is what they judge.
So actually, sister, this is one of the basic rules of the Holy Quran, that if you say, I am a believer, or you believe that you are a believer, be ready to be tried, okay? Because this is not only for you, this is the rule of Allah for those whom they are before us and those whom they will come after us. When they will say, we are believers, they must be tried, because they will win the paradise, for the sake of the paradise. Okay, so Allah is clarifying to us that rule from the verses of the Holy Quran. And this is the proof that the Holy Quran was supporting them. You are facing hardships and trials. Okay, this is part of the test of the believers. For the believers, they will be tested so that they prove they are true believers or they are liars. Again, the Quran was leading the Muslims to a new world where they have a Lord, the most merciful, the most powerful, the provider, the owner of everything, the planner, the one who is controlling everything. They can reach him directly. This is special for the message of Islam. You can reach Allah immediately, at any time, in any place, directly. You are not in need of the idols which were made of stones to call them so that they will intercede for you with Allah the Almighty. No, in Islam, I reach my Lord, the one who has everything, the one who can do everything, the one who owns everything, the one who controls everything directly and at any minute. And this fact touched the heart of those early Muslims whom they were before idol worshippers, and they appreciate the message of Islam and they tolerated everything for the sake of the belief. The Quran was sending also the glad tidings of success, referring to the final victory. We will recite now from Surah number 37, from verse 171 to 177 to learn how the Holy Quran and its verses supported those early Muslims with the glad tidings of the final victory. Surah number 37, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse number from 171 to 177.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ فَلَعَنْهُمْ حَتَّى حِينَ وَأَبْصِرْهُمْ فَسَوْفَ يُبْصِرُونَ أَفَبِعَذَابِنَا يَسْتَعْجِلُونَ فَإِذَا نَزَلَ بِسَاحَتِهِمْ فَسَاءَ صَبَاحُ الْمُنذَرِينَ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And our word decree has already preceded for our servants and messengers. Indeed, there will be those given victory. And indeed, our soldiers will be those who overcome. So Muhammad, peace be upon him, leave them for a time and see what will befall them, for they are going to see. Then for our punishment are they impatient? But when it descend on their territory, then evil is the mourning of those who were warned.
Actually, sister, those early Muslims, they were all the time in need of the support that they will win, because they were facing hardship which they don't know when the end will come. Those leaders were very wealthy and they were very strong and they were big number of people. So how those slaves will win on them or will have victory on them? Accordingly, it was the verses of the Quran that supported them. Allah is mentioning that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, our decree has already preceded. This means that the issue is done. Okay, what is the decree, O Allah? Indeed, they would be those given victory. So just to listen to this verse of the Quran will give a lot of psychological support and a lot of confidence that inshallah Allah will help us, because Allah is mentioning and Allah is the one telling the truth that you are the one whom they will be given victory, and the believers will be those who overcome. When you listen to these verses of the Quran, you are a believer in Allah, you are a believer in the words of Allah, you will tell to yourself, I will try my best to follow the way of Allah and I am a winner. Either those early Muslims, they were winners, and any Muslim who is reciting the Holy Quran until the Day of Judgment and following the way of Allah, he is the winner. But Allah is again sending the message to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave them for a time. Okay? Don't be upset for them. Don't be after them. Just leave them for a time and see what will befall them, for they are going to see. This is a promise of Allah that Prophet Muhammad will have the victory and those people will face a great punishment. But wait and see. Okay, this is the message. Maybe not now, but at the end, you will be the one to have the victory and they will be the one to be punished. So when they listen to these verses of the Holy Quran, they were supported psychologically that let us be true believers and never leave our belief, and inshallah Allah will make his promise a truth. We will be the one to have the victory and they will face the punishment. Also, the Holy Quran mentions the stories of the past prophets and the suffering and the pains they had experienced and how Allah supported the prophets with the victory. Again, these are the stories of the Holy Quran. Why Allah sent that stories in the Holy Quran? Because that stories of the Holy Quran were supporting the spirit of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the early Muslims, that as Allah supported the early prophets whom they were facing a lot of problems from their people, but they went on them, also you Muhammad, you will have the victory, as it happened with the previous messengers. We will recite now from surah number 14, verse number 13 and 14. Rahman Rahim. We will recite, sisters, from verse number to this conversation between the messengers and the people whom they are not believing in them is a very important conversation to know it and to believe what Allah will do for those whom they don't accept the message. Okay.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قالت رسلهم أفي الله شك فاطر السماوات والأرض يدعوكم ليغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى قالوا إن أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا تريدون أن تصدونا عما كان يعبد آباؤنا فأتونا بسلطان مبين قالت لهم رسلهم إن نحن إلا بشر مثلكم ولكن الله يمن على من يشاء من عباده وما كان لنا أن نأتيكم بسلطان إلا بإذن الله وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون وما لنا ألا نتوكل على الله وقد هدانا سبلنا ولنصبرن على ما آذيتمونا وعلى الله فليتوكل المتوكلون وقال الذين كفروا لرسلهم لنخرجنكم من أرضنا أو لتعودن في ملتنا فأوحى إليهم ربهم لنهلكن الظالمين ولنسكننكم الأرض من بعدهم ذلك لمن خاف مقامي وخاف وعيد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Their messenger said, can there be no doubt about Allah, creator of the heavens and earth? He invites you that he may forgive you of your sins, and he delays you your death for a specified term. They said, you are not but men like us who wish to avert us from what our fathers were worshipping. So bring us a clear authority or evidence. Their messenger said to them, we are only men like you, but Allah confers favor upon whom he wills of his servants. It has never been for us to bring you evidence except by permission of Allah. And upon Allah, let the believers rely. And why should we not rely upon Allah while he has guided us to our good ways? And we will surely be patient against whatever harm he should cause us. And upon Allah, let those who would rely indeed rely. And those who disbelieved said to their messengers, we will surely drive you out of our land, or you must return to our religion. So their Lord inspired them, we will surely destroy the wrongdoers. And we will surely cause you to dwell in the land after them. That is for he who fears my position and fears my threat.
So actually, sister, it was the verses of the Holy Quran that guided the early Muslim to the sincere belief in Allah's oneness and supported them with the glad tidings of victory. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching them to be tolerant, forgiving, and overpowering over themselves in order to get well established in their religion.
Part of the red, they talk about evidence, so bring us clear authority, clear evidence. And it seemed like in the case of the previous prophets, there was a lot of things that were done that was visible to people when he asked Moses to drop the cane, and then it became a snake. Yes. And then in the case when he provided the food for Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and then there was other miracles that were done in different parts. Yes.
You are asking about the miracles of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes. Number one miracle is the Holy Quran. Why? Because Allah sent the Holy Quran in the Arabic language. Those people were very good in the language. Allah is sending always the miracle in what is the most important for the people of that of every messenger. For example, it was the magic at the time of Prophet Moses. So Allah sent him with a stronger magic than them. Okay, so they respected him. For Jesus, at that time it was the medicine to cure the people. This what was famous at the time of Jesus. So Allah sent him with the ability to cure the dead or to give life to the dead by the permission of Allah. So he was more stronger than them, or you know, he was having a power more than their power. At the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number one is that those people were very interested in the Arabic language. They were the best to speak Arabic and to adjust and to say, you know, sha'r. Yes. Okay, so Allah sent the Holy Quran with the Arabic language, and Allah is in most of the verses of the Quran is starting every chapter with some letters. Alif, Lam, Mim. Ta, Sin, Mim. Ha, Mim. Allah is sending this, you know, to those whom they are speaking the Arabic language and they know about it a lot. These are the letters from which I made that book. Can you make a Quran like this? So the Holy Quran is the miracle which Allah sent it with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to prove that man is having a message which is coming from the heaven. Okay, no one has the power to make a book or to write one verse, not one chapter, one verse like the Holy Quran. This is the first miracle for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the most important. But during his life there were other miracles, okay? Inshallah we will learn it in one class, which is called, or two classes, the miracles of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after learning about his life in detail, inshallah. الرحمن الرحيم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.